Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. I could have went longer, but man, I have to cut it short. You know why? Some crazy news comes to the forefront today. You are now talking with TD. I appreciate each of you for tuning in, but man, the news. Oh, my heart. That's what a lot of Titans fans are saying. Jarrell Casey is on the move. Seventh round pick. That's what the Broncos gave up to get Jarrell Casey, five-time Pro Bowler, a guy who has consistently been one of the most underrated players from a defensive standpoint, not only on the Titans, but in the game. Ooh, that's all I can say. Tough loss for the Titans. I mean, there's a lot of leadership flowing out of that locker room. Jarrell Casey. Wesley Woodyard is probably not coming back. Logan Ryan seems like he may be on the move. I think the Eagles are a good possibility for him. Delanie Walker. Wow. That's all you could say. But John Robinson, he's kind of working that Patriots way, right? And get rid of a guy before his salary outweighs his production. And I'm not saying that's where Jarrell Casey is, but it could be where it's going. This guy is going to be owed a lot of money over the next couple of years, so I get it. Folks, this could open up something for a guy like Jadeveon Clowney coming to your team. I think right now he should be the top option that you have the money. I still wouldn't be mad at them for bringing in Marcus Golden. I definitely think that he's an option, but I think Clowney, if you want to make the huge move, Clowney would be the guy to bring in. Obviously, you know, they could look at bringing in a top-flight corner, whether it's Darius Slay or somebody like that, you know, Chris Harris. But I really think if you're going to bring in a corner, you might as well just keep Logan Ryan. So that's my thoughts there. But, man, Jarrell Casey, I mean, let's talk about some of the things that he did. You look at it, he's the guy that can line up in that three-tech. He can line up five-tech for you too. Right, and he could get that interior pressure for you. You look at what he and Jeffrey Simmons side by side, they were wrecking havoc. And then you drop Daquan Jones in between the two of them, and that was a really, really good trio of guys to have. But then, not to mention, you could have him stand up and rush the passer off as a stand-up edge guy. I mean, I think that's really impressive. Stat-wise, he had five sacks. I think for Casey, it goes beyond just stats, though. But not to mention, he had 2.5 sacks in the playoffs. You know, two against the Ravens, and he had a half one against the Chiefs. But I think for me, it goes beyond that. You look at how he's able to push that pocket back on the interior. You look at the way they use him on stunts. He's really, really good at getting after the quarterback. But then in addition to that, you look at what he does against the run, right? So, all right, he had, what, how many tackles? Let's see what the numbers say. He didn't have a lot of tackles. I'll put it to you that way. Let me pull up exactly how many he had for the guys who want numbers. So he had 44 tackles, right? That's not bad. You know, 26 solo tackles. But the thing is, for Henry – for Casey, when you look at what he does as far as getting that pressure, redirecting running backs so that someone else could get the tackle, you look at absorbing double teams, that's something that he, Daquan, and Jeffrey Simmons did at times. It makes it so a guy like a Rashawn Evans, a guy like a Kenny Vaccaro coming on the blitz, it makes them able to get the tackle. It clears the way for them. I think when you look at the interior position in Dean Pease's defense, it's a thankless position. It's one that, you know, you don't always get the credit, but that's something that Terrell Williams, you know, the defensive line coach, he always, when you talk to him about Jarrell Casey, he would rave about him. So this is a serious loss for the Titans. But just like that old Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, Collateral Damage, you know, sometimes you got to pay a little to get a lot. And I think that's what they're doing. I wouldn't be shocked if Jadeveon Clowney is a member of the Tennessee Titans. That would be a huge move. You're getting a guy who's an absolute monster against the run. I just thought of Taylor Lewan. You know, he mentioned Clowney, how Clowney had that play where he blew up the running back, knocked his helmet off. He was just talking about that on Busting with the Boys earlier this offseason. But, yeah, I mean, you talk about a guy that could play against the run. He doesn't get a lot of sacks, but he's another one. His pass rushes cause sacks, and he is a guy that will single-handedly disrupt an offensive game plan. Not, again, by getting sacks, but I'm talking about by, when I say his pass rushes cause sacks, he opens it up for someone else. Vic Beasley is in the fold. Obviously, Harold Landry. This team needs someone that could absolutely get after the passer, that will dominate one-on-ones, command double teams. I think Vic Beasley is a candidate to really do well against one-on-ones, a 21% pass rush win rate. Bringing out the numbers, you hear that, Calvin? 21% pass rush win rate when he's in one-on-one situations, which is, that's pretty good. That's top 20 in the league. So definitely feel like they could really upgrade their pass rush. They could really make themselves a more disruptive defensive team, and they're going to have to do that. They are absolutely going to have to do. You look what the Ravens did, right? Derrick Henry trampled them for 195 yards. So what did they turn around and do? Okay, Calais Campbell, let me get you. Okay, one of the best run stoppers, Michael Brockers, come on down. And they stacked up in run defense. They got a guy who was probably one of the most disruptive players against the Titans offense in Calais Campbell. So that was a good move. The Ravens saw something they had to improve upon and did it. The Titans beat the Ravens, went and had to face the Chiefs, and what came to the table? You have to be able to get after Patrick Mahomes. You have to. And even when you do, as the 49ers showed, he still could do some nasty things to you. So I think if they were to add a Vic Beasley, as they did, and then follow that up, I still frankly feel Marcus Golden is someone that they really need to look at. With this money, this $13 million, because the Broncos have taken all of that. They're taking all of Casey's money that he was going to be owed. So with that being said, now you could afford to add a few guys. And I think that's what they're going to do. But you still have that hole on the defensive line, right? You got Jeffrey Simmons. You got Daquan Jones. You got Isaiah Mack. And it's just like, you know, it's a rotation. Right, so what do you do? No problem. You address it via the draft. Input Auburn defensive lineman Marlon Davidson. I asked him at the draft, or at the combine, excuse me, a couple questions, and he gave some pretty good answers. One of the things that I asked him about is having that dog in him. Like, why is it that he has it? What does that mean to him? So I want you to hear what he told me when I asked him that at the combine. You're going to like this. Check it out.
And I mean, I have a lot of dog in me. I really do. Like, I'm not one of those type of guys who's going to sit there and just get beaten all game. I'm not. Sure, I'm finna win one or two, no matter what. So I'm finna go out here, I'm finna whip their tail, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to whip it again. Then I come back, I'm going to do it again. And you'll keep going repetition. So at that moment, you'll be like, dang, man, I got to go against Marlon Davidson every play now.
A lot of people use that word, I got that, or that phrase, I got the dog in me. But what does that mean to you? Like, how can you put that into words?
I mean, it's kind of hard to put that in words. You know, you can't tell people that you're a dog. You have to show it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you turn on the film, and you're going to look and see every play. You're going to see three. And three going to be doing this thing. That's for sure. And I mean, I just have that attitude about me, man. My mindset is to go dominate no matter what.
That's what you want to hear from a guy on the defensive side of things. I think he's a guy that the Titans at 29, I saw a few mocks. Like, I'm not a mock draft dude, but I saw a few. I read them. I saw a few that had him there. I think with Casey, and when I saw him there at 29 for the Titans and as the pick, I said, okay, that's a guy that, you know, as Casey begins to get longer in the tooth and they have to move on, that's a guy that could replace him. I could see that. Now I think it's an absolute – I think he's a guy that they 100% have to consider because you look at him, he's 6'3", 305. He's a guy that could give you 3, 5, or 7 tech. You know what I mean? And he could give you a wide rusher too. He basically gives you a similar skill set to what Jarrell Casey gave you. Now, I'm not saying he's going to come in and have the same impact. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying he gives you that same type of dog that could be a disruptive player on the inside. He and Derrick Brown, they did work at Alabama. I tell you that much. Or excuse me, Auburn. I tell you that much. And if you look at him, right, you know, 2 forced fumbles last year, 7.5 sacks, 30 solo tackles. Definitely feel like he's a guy that could make things happen for you. 49 tackles total. He's an impressive player. Other thing I like when you talk about having a dog in you, I asked him, and I always like to ask guys this question, you know, what is it that you love most about football? And you could just kind of get a feel for someone's mindset, someone's mentality when you ask them that. So let me go ahead and get Calvin to play what Marlon Davidson told me when I asked him what he likes most about football. Check it out.
I love most about the game is that, this is true now, okay, this is true. I love most about the game is that I can literally go out there and hit a man consistently and pound him and the police not come. That is the most enjoyable moment about ball, is to go out there and just really abuse somebody. And then they won't say nothing about it in the press, anything. I ain't on no headlines and handcuffs, no mug shots, no nothing. I'm out here just physically abusing a man.
You got to love that, right? So obviously, if he comes here, he's going to be someone that's fun to talk to. Definitely fun to talk to. I could see him really bringing energy. I think having him and Jeffrey Simmons on that interior part of the defensive line for years to come would be really good. But, man, I'm sure for Titans fans, the loss of Jarrell Casey hurts. Let me tell you, I really had a good time working and talking with Jarrell Casey, man. I really did. And it was funny because the way he would light up when you ask him questions. The thing I loved most about him is when he would talk about his little man, his son. You talk about a guy just really lighting up and really, you know, just smiling, just thinking about his little guy. And then I remember, you know, going up to him and congratulating him when his wife, you know, he and his wife were pregnant. They announced that. And he's a great dude, man. Really big influence in that locker room. He and Jeffrey Simmons, you know, they worked together rehabbing their knees during our training camp. And he's just someone that he has one speed, that's full speed. He practices hard. He plays hard. He brings a lot to the table. That's a huge degree of leadership being removed from that locker room. They're going to have to really figure things out. But, you know, as I said, you got to give some to get some. And I think there's another move coming. Again, Clowney, Fowler, we'll see who it is. We're going to go to a break. We do have the Vandy boys on for you, right? I mean, we had to open up with Jarrell Casey. And don't forget about Delaney Walker. We'll get on that a little bit later. But make sure you stay tuned for the Vandy boys. Spotify, Google, Apple, iTunes. Talking with TD. Be sure to search that, subscribe, 5-star rating. We'll be right back.
This is AJ Brown, and you're talking with TD.
All right, all right, all right. Back from the break, talking with TD. You hear that? That's Young Buck in the background. You know what I'm saying? A Nashville rapper. We're going to bring in a Nashville product himself, Vandy running back Keyshawn Vaughn. This is a guy, folks, that if you've been listening to me for the last 2 years, I've been talking about this guy a lot. So it is an absolute pleasure to have you on. Keyshawn, what's good, man?
Man, what's up? What's up, man? I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm chilling, man. I'm chilling. It definitely seems like you're chilling. So we're going to get right into it. I want to kind of go back to your high school days, just as far as the track career was concerned, that you were a standout track runner. What were some events that you ran in track?
I ran 100, the 200, 4x1, and 4x2.
Okay, so you did the whole kit and caboodle. That's what's up. It definitely shows in your play. That's why I wanted to ask you about that. So staying with the high school situation, what was it that led to you going from Pearl Cone to Illinois?
It was just really, I felt like Illinois was a great situation coming out of high school. Just a program that was going to turn around. That's kind of something I want to be a part of.
It was just that simple? You wanted to go in and turn things around?
Yeah, I mean, it was 6-6 the past year. And then I just wanted to be a part of a program that was going to turn around, you know.
What was it about Coach Derek Mason that made you want to come back to Nashville and be able to do what you did here in this city and for Vanderbilt?
I mean, one of the biggest things is me and Coach Mason kind of had a relationship. We kind of built a relationship during the recruiting process. So me coming back home kind of was that simple. As just both of us just keeping that relationship, not letting where I went to school kind of break that relationship that we had built during the recruiting process. So, I mean, just coming back home was really the best thing that I could have did out of the Illinois situation. So,
yeah.
SEC football, it can't beat that. Great degree, can't beat that. So, I mean, I figured it was a win-win for my situation.
Yeah, I could figure that too. And I like the point that you make there about not burning bridges. And folks, especially the younger ones, that's something you definitely have to always apply. You never leave a situation on bad terms. You do everything you can to make sure that opportunity, that door is still open for you just in case. Now, speaking of lessons, you were Tennessee Gatorade Football Player of the Year coming out of high school, right? So you were at a high point. And then a couple years later, you know, you found yourself in a battle on the depth chart at Illinois. What would you say was the biggest lesson you learned from your time at Illinois that you were able to spin forward to Vanderbilt and now?
My biggest thing was just control what I could control. Mm. That was kind of the biggest lesson I pulled out of all that. You're not in control of your playing time and all like that. You're only in control of how you practice, how you play, so-and-so. So, I mean, it was just controlling what I could control. That was the biggest thing.
Yeah, and that's another good lesson that definitely needs to be applied. I read that your father said that he knew that this is what you were going to do, right? Even dating back to 3-4 years old. And I thought it was interesting because I know at the combine you talked a bit about, you know, being in the Jets, right? And how you guys will play football there. I want to ask you the nickname Mamba. You know, what's behind that? How did you get that nickname?
My favorite player at the time that his nickname was out was Dink Thomas.
Yeah.
But it used to be Kobe Bryant. So both of them was the Black Mamba. So I just went with the Red Mamba instead.
I ain't mad at that. And LT, LaDainian Tomlinson, I guess it's no coincidence you wear number 5. Why is it that he's someone that you like so much when you were coming up?
Man, it definitely was a coincidence. I had just figured it out that he was number 5 too. I just realized it not too long ago. Well, I mean, it kind of meant that I was following his footsteps, I guess.
And along those lines, Derek Mason, he called you a legit 3-down running back, and he focused on how dynamic you are. Catching the football out of the backfield, obviously running the ball bad, but also in pass pro. Is that something that you saw in the LaDainian Tomlinson?
Yes, I mean, that's something that's going to get you paid. So, I mean, whether I've seen it in him or not, that's something I had to get done. So,
how did you – what goes into being – because, like, you look at the LSU game. I thought you did a really good job in pass pro in that game. So, when you look at being a solid pass protector, right, on third down especially, mm-hmm. what goes into that? Is that, in your opinion, is that a mindset thing, a want-to thing?
That's a mindset thing. You know, I was thinking from blocking linebackers who, by the way, 40, 50 pounds more than you. So it's really just a mindset thing. Understanding. My thing is, you just got to understand it's your job not to get the quarterback hit. Keep your man out the quarterback. Well, you're good. You can always work on technique and all that, but you got to just be willing to protect your quarterback.
So your running back coach, Coach Horton, he called you a really driven player. My question to you is what drives you? What makes you play the game the way you do? Because you have a violent running style.
really just being doubted. That's really my main thing. And then the chips on my shoulder just keep stacking up. So that's really the biggest thing. I'm playing with chips on my shoulder, so that's kind of making me go harder. Then they just somehow naturally play. Just the mindset that nobody can stop you. I mean, you just got to treat everybody like they're the same on the field, regardless of names and all that stuff.
Keyshawn, I have to tell you, man, that Baylor game, I honestly, after watching that game, I was like, oh, this dude's going to be playing on Sunday in 3 to 4 months. But she came back. What went into your decision to come back to Vanderbilt for one more season?
One of the main things was that I was really about 2 semesters out for getting my degree.
Okay.
And that's kind of something I just wanted to go on and get out of the way. So I don't got to double back on that. But just kind of continue to establish who I am as a player, leaving no doubt to nobody to have on me. And kind of was just to stay instead of going and hop out in the water right now.
What was it that you wanted to continue to establish about yourself as a player?
Just like a big 3-down back. Okay. That first year, I was kind of more of a 2-down, kind of how the system was designed for me to be that. But this most recent year was just kind of a show that I could be a 3-down back, catch the ball at the backfield, run in between the tackles, outside, whatever needs to be done, I could do it as a running back.
Now, I mentioned the violent running style that you have, but again, that Baylor game really showed, because we're talking about 18.7 yards a carry, 243 total yards rushing. What is it about your running style, your running ability that makes you such an explosive player? Because it seems like you hit that open field and the deuces sign, it needs to get chucked up.
Man, it's just, I'm trying to score all the time. And then, go back to high school, I come from a high school and fast-paced offense. So that's kind of something I'm trying to do on college level, too, run the score up. Run the score up, get them boys up out of here and go home. So that's kind of really my mindset, just keep running up the score.
So, obviously, this is a Titan-centric show. So, I have to ask the question about scheme. You know the Titans like to run a lot of outside zone. They run inside zone, too. But specifically with outside zone, I think you're a fit there. So, can you just tell me a little bit about how much patience goes into being successful in any zone scheme, but especially that outside zone?
It's not just patience. You just knowing the blocking scheme, that's kind of the biggest thing. You know, whether you'll be able to hit the edge or not based on the defensive alignment. And, I mean, it's kind of knowing the flow of the O-line. You got to kind of understand the game speed and kind of slow it down in your head, I guess. But, I mean, you just looking for the, you're really just looking for the first crease. That's kind of what I do. And you take the first crease, you fill in the O line. If you can get to the edge, you're just going to turn on the jets and get to the edge. But if the line moves, you, that's when you kind of can be patient and look for that. You can feel what a cut should hit. So, I mean, kind of anticipate the cut at this certain spot if everything continue to flow how it does.
So with you and your fit into the zone scheme, with you and your explosive playmaking ability, because you strike me as a guy that even though you could tote the rock 20 to 25 times, it seems like you only need like 10 to 15 touches and you're going to make something happen. So
definitely about 15, we can make something happen.
And that also comes in the screen game because, you know, we could go to the Florida game, right, the 75-yarder you had in 18. So that being said, at the combine, you talked about how you could be a really good combo with Derrick Henry. Tell my listeners why you feel that could be a good match for you.
I mean, it would be if it was to happen. Just him being power and kind of beating down up on teams, and I got the ability kind of getting that smash and dash back that Titans used to have. That kind of what it could be. But only time could really tell. No telling for real.
I know you're open to all opportunities. So, I get it. You don't want to pigeonhole yourself into one team. But, I mean, I'm saying you got Nashville tattooed on you. So, I'm sure that this would be a good place. That being said,
yeah, I'm from here.
Yeah, exactly. And that being said, before I get you out of here, I know you're here in Nashville. How did things work out for you and your family, you know, your loved ones, as far as the storm is concerned from a couple weeks ago?
Everybody that I know is straight from it. Nobody got impacted, at least seriously. So, I mean, everybody is doing better with the process.
Okay, that's good to hear. And last thing, have you gotten to speak to the Titans at all in this process, whether it be Senior Bowl or Combine?
I have spoke to them, but I've spoke to almost every team, so not really much you can take from now.
Gotcha. All right, well, folks, that's Keyshawn Vaughn. He's cool as a fan on the phone, but you watch him play, it's different. You know what I mean? I appreciate you coming on. And definitely, folks, make sure you check his Twitter. Make sure you just keep in tune with everything that's going on, because he is a prospect that could be playing for your team on Sundays, and that's the Titans. Keyshawn, I appreciate you, man. Take care.
All right. Appreciate you.
Yep.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byard, and I'm talking with TD.
Yeah. We continue to travel around. You hear that? That's the Outkast. So you know we're bringing in an Atlanta-area product, Norcross, Georgia's finest, Vanderbilt's finest, because he's also a Nashville product, too. Jared Pinkney. Jared, what's going on, man?
What's going on, man? Thank you for having me.
No problem. Appreciate you coming on. I got to ask you, is that before your time, or can you flow with that Outkast?
No, I know something about that. My mom used to play that kind of stuff.
See that? I told you, one of the OGs had to have played it for you. So before we get into it, I want to go ahead and get this out of the way, because I don't typically make player comps, but in watching you, I get a lot of an Eric Ebron feel, right? Because of how they flex you, how they use you on screens, how they use you on slants, how they have you line up outside of the numbers. Is that something that you've heard before?
Actually, I don't think I've heard that before. But just to go off of what I know about Eric Ebron, he's definitely a freaker athlete than me, just because he's so explosive. And I think he probably ran like in the 4.5s.
Right.
But in terms of our actual game, when he got to the NFL, he does look a little bit like me. I guess I should say I look a little bit like him. But, yeah, I think in terms of receiving ability, I think that's a pretty cool comp.
So looking at some of the guys that you've documented that you like that are in the league now, Travis Kelce, that name came up. Zach Ertz came up as well. What are some of the things you like about those guys?
mainly those two, they don't win without right elite athleticism, even though Travis Kelce has elite athleticism. He likes to beat you with nuance and a little bit of savvy to his routes and his game, which is something I greatly appreciate. And not to say that George Kittle doesn't win with technique and savvy, but he's just so much faster than everybody else. He blows by his competition, so I can't really watch him.
Yeah, and one of the things that he does well that I think you have continued to get better and do well at is blocking. So as a guy, you know, that will have to play in line, that has played in line sometimes, what are your thoughts? Like, describe yourself as a complete tight end.
I think I can offer the versatility that a team is looking for, in line, flexed out, in the slot, off the ball, but still attached to the offensive line. That type of deal, whether it's blocking, pass blocking, or receiving. And the things that I don't offer immediately, I'm willing to work at to get better.
Let's talk a little bit about establishing trust with the quarterback, because, you know, there are times where I saw over the last 2 years, especially in 18, you know, you're running the seam route or you're running along the sideline, and your quarterback, he's going your direction, and he's trusting that you were going to make a play. So it seemed like that trust level is there. What goes into, you know, being that safety blanket as a tight end for your quarterbacks?
Well, I'll speak to my relationship with Kyle just because it was for longer in a four-year relationship. The thing about it is we didn't have a receiver signed in our class on scholarship. So when there was a guy that he needed extra work with our freshman year, it was me. So it was kind of like seeing all that work come to fruition in our last year in terms of the trust factor, and there'd be times where, you know, he'd audible to a player or route, and he'd kind of just give me a look like, you know, this is what we worked on for the past couple of months, years, weeks, days, whatever. And it'd end up being a completion for a pretty big gain, and it'd be something really cool.
Yeah, because it was really clear that trust with you and Kyle Shermer was definitely there. And obviously that was, you know, he was done after that 18-year. Looking at some of the things, I know my fellow ESPN guys, you know, Todd McShay, Mel Kiper, they had you as a top-rated tight end. In fact, Todd McShay, he's on record saying that he thought that you were a sneaky first-round pick candidate coming out, you know, in 2018 if you came out. So I have to ask you, what really went into your decision to return? Because you and Keyshawn, Vaughn, you both could have came out, you know, and been – legitimate prospects to get picked. Why did you choose to come back to Vanderbilt?
That's a question I've had to answer a lot over the past year. But the answer I've kind of pretty much stuck with and is the most true is I felt like I had more to accomplish as a player, as a student, as a son, you know, just being able to become more mature in myself. And I thought I was able to accomplish that in terms of maturity factor. Obviously, as a player, and, you know, as a teammate, I left some things on the table. But overall, I don't regret the decision. I think I became a better person, and, you know, it helped me out with how I deal with life down the road.
What specific areas of your game do you feel matured? And I'm really curious, as a person, as a man, in what way did you mature as well?
I'll go football-wise first. I think my toughness, because I've always been a tough player, but in terms of mental toughness and being a tough teammate, you know, being able to see something not go as well as you want it to, something that you've worked on for so many weeks, so many hours, and so many days, and so many months, really, just not be able to come to fruition and still be able to overcome that and, you know, turn it into a successful season or a successful game or whatever, or try to at least. I think that's where I probably matured the most as a player. As a person, I'd probably say being able to control what I can control.
Mm. That's really interesting. You know why, Jared? That's exactly what Keyshawn said.
So being able to control what you can control.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And I think that really applies to – I mean, it applies to anybody. But I think that really applies to you because, you know, looking from 18 to 19, obviously there were changes in personnel that were made, right? And, you know, I got to tell you, a lot of it wasn't your doing, like your control, right? The drop-off in stats. So you're right. You do have to really focus on being able to control what you can control. That being said, I'm sure at the combine, at the Senior Bowl, you were asked, well, explain the drop-off in production. How did you explain that?
I mean, I just pointed out what you said. You know, we had a lot of changes in personnel. We lost our super valuable do-it-all running back in Kari Blasch, game playing for the Titans now. And then we lost about three offensive linemen. Our two most important ones, we lost our center, who's making all the calls at the offensive line and, you know, shifting protections, IDing the Mike linebacker. And then we lost our second most important position on offensive line in the left tackle in Justin School, who's playing for the 49ers. And then we lost a tight end, a couple of receivers, and, you know, just – and, of course, Kyle, captain of the offense. But, I mean, just, you know, coaching staff turnover, it was a lot to deal with in one season.
What's the best game to point to for you as a blocker? I feel LSU is the one, but what would you say?
Yeah, either LSU or Georgia.
And then what game – go ahead.
Even Purdue.
Purdue, okay. Another tight end that will be playing on Sundays was playing in that game as well. What game would you say showcases you as a playmaker?
I probably have to go back to last year for that one in the Notre Dame game.
Yeah, yeah. That was a big game for a couple of you guys. A tough one too, man. I thought you guys were going to pull that one off.
I don't think I'll ever be able to get over that one.
Hey, man, some of those L's, they stick with you, man. I feel you. When you look at the Senior Bowl, that experience, how was that for you? What were some of the things you pulled out of that?
I think overall getting to learn an offense, an NFL offense in a week, not obviously all of it, but just getting exposed to it and the nuances and the kind of the verbiage that they have with it. It's always interesting to see how NFL coaches are different from college coaches and just the scheme overall, but I think most of it was carryover because we ran a pro-style offense in college. So, I mean, it was that aspect, but then also when you get on the field with all these all-stars and the coaches are coaching you up, and, you know, it was fun.
Yeah, it was. It was fun actually watching you down there do your thing. What's some of the feedback you got from the personnel folks?
From the Senior Bowl or just?
Yeah, at the Senior Bowl.
I was dealing with an injury, so, you know, it kind of handicapped what I was able to do. But, I mean, most of their criticisms and some of their compliments, I mean, the compliment is obviously the run blocking, and I was probably the best one down there. But in terms of the pass game, I looked stiff, which, you know, the injury kind of contributed to. And I wasn't too happy about it, but it kind of just is what it is. I've been dealing with the whole process, so I just kind of got to deal with it.
Yeah. How are you now as far as that injury is concerned? Is that something that's in the past, or are you still kind of pushing through that?
I never like to use injuries as an excuse, so
right.
I wasn't trying to leak it out, like, after the combine or anything like that, because I told all the teams about it, and it showed up in the medical reports, and it got reaggravated, like, during the week, so, you know, it contributed to the 40 and all that. But I hate using it as an excuse, so I don't want to leak specifics or anything.
Got you. No, I just meant just as a player how you were. Definitely not asking you to reveal any information you don't plan, you know, you don't intend to. Going back to what you put on tape, again, I saw them use you on screens. I saw them flex you, run slants. You run the seam route pretty well. What is it about your skill set that makes you able to be used in a variety of ways, and how does that push you forward to the next level playing on Sundays?
Honestly, I think it's probably my preparation, my ability to get in the film room and see what the defense is trying to do or wants to do and make a plan during the week, make a plan with the quarterback and the offensive coordinator to kind of just go through how we're going to attack this.
Andre Johnson. Houston Texans wide receiver legend. What's that deal?
That's my favorite player of all time.
Is that why you wear 80?
That's exactly why I wear 80.
Very interesting. What is it about him that you like? I met him one time. That's a big receiver, man. That's a really big receiver. What is it about him that you like so much?
It was exactly that, because I grew up playing the defensive side of the football. and I'd always been defensive end or linebacker. And I kind of decided, you know, once I got to high school, I wanted to switch it up and be receiver. And he was the first guy that I was able to look at and be like, okay, it's possible. It's, you know, it's a 225, 230-pound guy that runs around and, you know, catches passes. But as I got a little bit older, I realized he wasn't exactly an everyman receiver. He was like a 4-3-4-4 guy at 230. So tight end became much more of a realistic possibility for me.
Well, there was a guy in Atlanta that was a pretty good tight end by the name of Algie Crumpler. That might be before your time, but, you know, that's another guy that I'm sure, you know, set an example of how to play the position.
I remember.
Yeah, oh, good stuff. So that means you appreciate the game, the history of the game. That's what's up. A lot of guys, they don't. With your pro day, it was supposed to be on Monday, obviously because of, you know, the situation that we're facing as a society, it was canceled. But what's on the agenda for you? How are you working through this process?
Well, for me, the biggest thing with the pro day was just do the 40 again, you know, get a healthy time out there. And not have to worry about it because, I mean, all I wanted to do was just, you know, show teams that wasn't the real me. Mm-hmm. But since that wasn't a possibility, we've kind of moved towards, you know, preparing for the season now. And I'm working with some former receivers and some former NFL coaches just to get right route-wise, conditioning-wise. It's a big thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all you're doing is training for sprinting and jumps. But, you know. That's kind of been the main deal.
Excellent point, because so many people overlook the fact that combine prep and what you're getting ready for, it's not football training. So I'm glad you mentioned that. Are you able to mention any of the receivers or coaches that you're working with, or is that something confidential?
It's not confidential, but I don't, you know, I don't know how you feel about it. So, and I'm not trying to, like, flaunt my, like, access or – status or anything like that, because he's a high profile guy.
Okay, well, yeah, you never, you know, mentioning isn't flaunting, you know, it's just sometimes the facts are the facts, but it's all good, man. I wish you the best. I definitely want to keep contact with how this thing rolls for you. Have you talked to the Titans at all?
Yeah, I was supposed to go to their local day, but it ended up getting canceled.
Yeah.
And I think I might have had a workout schedule with them. It was either a workout or a meeting.
Okay, so it's good to know that you are on the radar. You're here in their backyard, so that definitely makes sense. Well, Jared, I appreciate you, man. I wish you the best going forward, and, you know, maybe we'll see you down the road here in Nashville once again.
Yeah, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right, appreciate it. Take care.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD. Just live this here lifestyle.
Yeah. Last segment here, talking with TD. Appreciate the Vandy boys for jumping on. Lifestyle, man. A lot of these guys have grinded their whole life to live this here lifestyle that they're about to live. Both of these guys, you know, the Vandy boys, they're definitely Tennessee Titans targets. Before we get out of here, I just want to touch on Delanie Walker. I didn't get to, you know, get on that. Man, that's another heart of the Titans being taken away. Delanie came in and did his thing, man. He had an outstanding career with the Titans. I definitely think that he should go up there as one of the top Titans ever alongside of some of the past greats. But it's a business. They had to save $8 million or $7 million in releasing him. There is news. John Keim of ESPN is reporting that the Redskins have some interest. That would be really, really cool to see him follow the steps of Vernon Davis going to the Redskins to, you know, wrap up the career. That would be cool. But, man, Delanie Walker, his departure means Jonnu Smith. It's Nunu time. It's definitely Nunu time, man. That's what they call him, New. A.J. Brown, Mr. New. That's what he called him. But, yeah, so it's time for Jonnu Smith to step up, to continue to step up. He was the top pass catcher as a tight end last year. The torch is passed. Now we'll see what happens. Jarrett Pinkney could be a guy that they bring in, you know what I mean, to help round out that tight end group. I think it's going to be an outstanding draft for this Titans team. There's plenty of prospects. I want to see what happens in free agency as well. There's still some things to come, but wow, that's all you can say. You know, Deion Lewis, I know people had their issues with him. He came in and, you know, he held it down for a bit. Ryan Succop gave you guys some great moments as well. But all good things come to an end, and that's what we're experiencing here. That's what we're seeing with the Titans. So just stay tuned. We have more to come. Definitely looking to bring more prospects, and everyone stay safe, you know, in this situation facing our society, man. Wash your hands, right? That's the way to kind of deal with this thing and social distancing. I'm going to distance myself from you guys until next week. I appreciate each of you for tuning in. God bless and good night.